Tuesday, the 7th of April. Yud Gimel Nissan. Rabbi Eli Siegel, where Avdus meets Chelus.
The Abarvanel, in his Perush on the Haggadah, explains Manish Tana, the kasha of the Manish Tana, in the following way. He says that, in fact, really the Manish Tana, although we know it's four kashas, but in fact he interprets the Manish Tana as really one kasha, with various examples. And he says the kasha is, what are we meant to be doing on Seder night? Are we meant to be demonstrating and displaying Avdus? Or are we meant to be displaying Chelus? He says, the kasha is as follows. On the one hand, we have Shebechala Leilois, Ano Echim Chomitz and Matzah, Mahalayla Zeh, Kulei Matzah. And Matzah, he interprets and says, as we start off with Agoda Holach Ma'anya, is Avdus. Yeah, bread of poor man's bread, the bread of affliction, that is Avdus. And as well we have Moroi, which also represents and symbolizes the Avdus. And then we go on to do other things. We do Onomat Pilim Shnei Pa'omim, dipping is a form of Cheirus. And we lean, which is also Cheirus. So he says, that's a Kasha Manish Tano. Manish Tano is there because on the one hand we do this, on the one hand we do that, what we meant to be doing. And the Teretz, he says, is in the first words of Avodim Ayinu Lefarim Mitzrayim, very simple Teretz, that Avodim Ayinu Lefarim Mitzrayim, Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Misham, on the one hand, we're doing both. Yeah, we have to commemorate both. On the one hand, Avodim Hayinu Lefarim Mitzrayim, we were Avodim, so we commemorate and we feel and we go through Avdus, and then Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Misham, and we feel and we experience going out to Mitzrayim, and that is Cheirus. In fact, the Chasam Sofer, the famous Kashmir Rishonim, ask why one doesn't break a brocha on Sipu Yitzis Mitzrayim. And one of the answers given is by the Rishonim, Rashba, is that the brocha of Gaal Yisrael, which we say at the end of the Haggadah, is the brocha of on the mitzvah Sipu Yitzis Mitzrayim. And they ask that the brocha, we know the rule is, you have to make a brocha Ovelus Yosin, a brocha on a mitzvah you make before you do the mitzvah, not after you do the mitzvah. So the Chasam Sofer answers that we find when a ger goes through his process of Geirus, and he has to have a tefillah, so before the tefillah you need to make a bracha, but the ger makes the bracha after the tefillah. Why? Because in his status as a guy before he's made the tefillah, he can't say v'tzivanu, he can't make a bracha. So therefore he has to make the bracha afterwards. So he says, likewise on Seder night, we are going through the motions of not only Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the Avdus as well. Mitzchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, I would say. So at the beginning of the Haggadah, we're actually experiencing the feeling that we're Ovdei Avodah Zarah, we're in Mitzrayim. So at that stage, we can't say Mitzivon, we can't make the bracha yet. So it's only after we finish the Haggadah, and now we're out of Mitzrayim, and now we're free, and like the Gael has now had his tefillah, and now we can make the bracha. So we see that on Seder night, we are experiencing both. We have to go through the Avdus, and then, which leads on to the Chayus. But, so, that's how the Bava knows this. You got both. But the truth is, if you look a bit deeper, it seems within various things in Seder night, there seems to be contradictions in certain things themselves. For example, take Matzah. Matzah itself, on the one hand we say, Holach Ma'anya. The Torah calls it Lechem Oini. Whether you call it bread of affliction, poor man's bread. But when we say at the end of that God, Matzah Zusha Ono Oichlim Ashrum Mo, what's the reason why we're eating matzah? Actually, here speak the tzekum lahachmitz. That is, when we came out of Mitzrayim, yeah, they came out with their matzah. In other words, with the matzah is demonstrating as a symbol of cheres, and that's the reason why we say we're eating the matzah. So, in matzah itself, it seems to be you have a contradiction here, whether it's cheres and avdus. In fact, a Tosfos in Psachim. So it's in Pesachim where the sugi is dealing with the mitzvah of Haseba. And the Gemara speaks about Haseba when you have to lean with a dalakosis, and Tosfos points out that when you eat matzah as well, you have to lean. Says Tosfos, although matzah is called lechem oini, you still lean. Tosfos doesn't explain why, but Tosfos just points out this problem. Matzah seems to be lechem oini, which means that represents the avdus, yet when we eat the matzah, we're leaning, which symbolizes cheres. I mean, the extent to which matzah is called lechem oini even has a nafka middle halacha, because the Gemara in Psachim is dealing with whether one can be mekayim mitzvah matzah with demai. Demai means produce which one's bought from an amaretz, and one's not sure whether amaretz is separated maestros. And the din is you can be yotze with demai. So the Gemara asks why. So the Gemara says because the halach is since demai is a din drabbanon to separate maestros. That means on min haTorah we can rely on what the Chazal says. The Gemara says roiv am haaretz maasrim. Right, most amaratim do separate maestros. So we're only there's a chumrah of the rabbanon that we're worried about the minority who don't separate maestros. So therefore the chachamim required us to separate maestros. The din, however, is that an oni, a poor person, is allowed to eat demai. Therefore, the Gemara says, so it's possible, since it's possible for a person to be mafke, all his nechassim, relinquish his rights on all his nechassim, so he'll be a poor person, so he'll be able to eat demai. So therefore, he can be yotze mitzvah matzah with demai. It's possible, there's potentially an ability for him to be able to eat this demai, so he's mekayim his mitzvah matzah with demai. So Tosfos asks, very nice, he could become poor and eat demai, but at the moment, he's not a poor person, he's a wealthy person, how can he eat demai? So Tosfos, one tarot says, that matzah is called lechem oini, so eating matzah is considered an achila of anios, of poverty. So that means we take lechem oini, the eating of the matzah, to such an extent that it's considered in halacha as if you're eating it as a poor person, even though you're not poor, to enable you to eat it even though it's demai. That's what I'm saying.
No, but the matzah is a symbol of a sign of poverty, but not him.
They have to. Same choice is saying lechem oini. It has to be the way you're eating. It has to be an achila of anius.
He's a rich man. He's eating.
That's choice. So, and in fact, the truth is, as we're saying, the matzah on the one hand is lechem oini, on the other hand is a symbol of cheres. In fact, if you look in the Torah, the Torah, where does the Torah say the pasuk of lechem oini? In the same context of going out of Mitzrayim, because the Torah says lo sochel al chametz, shivas yomim tochel al matzis, a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, Perek Tezayin, pasuk Gimel, tochel al matzis lechem oini. The Torah calls it, why? Ki b'chipazon yotzasa meretz Mitzrayim. Because you went down Mitzrayim, b'chipazon leman tisik, so the Torah is actually giving the title of lechem oini, which represents the avdus, in the context of going of eating matzah, because that represents the chayrus of going out to Mitzrayim. I mean, we have other things as well. The truth is the moro, one of the things used for moro, the Gemara says, is chasa. And the Gemara says chasa is a lashon of chas, chas rachmona, the Sproch has Rachmanus on us. So Moroi is ultimate Avdus, yet we use Chasa, which is Rachmanus. The Charoisus, which we're using to take away the bitterness of the Moroi, but it's Zeichel Atit, it's Zeichel Atevin, it's, you put wine in, Zeichel Adam. So, the Dalakoisus, which is Cheres, Mishra Brura says we should have red wine, Zeichel Adam. So you have this, sort of this, dichotomy of Avdus and Cheres and coming together within with the same things. So, in order to explain this, I'll start with the following question, and we'll come back to. Just one thing, at the end of every Sedra, it tells you how many psukim there are in the Sedra, and there's a simon at the end with a gematria to enable you to remember the amount of psukim. I don't know why people are going to remember the simon more than the amount of psukim, but anyway, but that's the simon. So on Parsha, and obviously the simon has something to do with the sedra. It's not any word, because for example, Parsha Shmos and Parsha Emor have got the same amount of psukim, 124 psukim, and the simon is the same. The simon is different. So obviously the simon is not any random word taken with the amount of psukim. So the simon for Parsha Shmos, the Kuchov Dalet, is 124 words, and 124 psukim, and the simon is Vayikach. Yeah, so, well, let's maybe try and explain, or hopefully come back to this, and perhaps explain what's the connection between the words Vayikach and Sedra Shmos. We find, by the snare, the burning bush, the first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu, so, says in the Pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu saw, he was going and he saw this snare boyer ba'esh, the ha-snare einenu ukol, and the snare wasn't being consumed. What was the significance of this? So, Mevu Abitim Bedroshim, that the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that there's a fire. In other words, a fire represents the raging fire which is going on in Mitzrayim, which is threatening to consume Klal Yisrael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them Hasnei in the Ukal. Don't worry, they're not going to be destroyed. The bush is not being burnt. But perhaps more. See, fire has, there are two sides to fire. There's a positive side and a negative side. That means you can use fire constructively, positively, to cook things, to warm oneself up, or you can destroy. And the truth is, even when you use fire to heat up, what you're doing, you're burning and destroying the wood or the fuel, but that's a positive product of that, of the fire, is the heat and the warmth which is giving. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show Moshe Rabbeinu that there is a fire, there's a fire raging in Mitzrayim, but this is not a destructive fire. This is a fire, the snare's boy by Esh, but it's Neinu Ukol, it's not destroying the snare, it's a positive fire, it's for a positive purpose, and there is a positive use and reason for the fire which is raging Mitzrayim. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says, in Parshas Vayeschanan, Perek Daled Pasuk Chaf, Ve'eschem lokach Hashem vayotzi eschem mikur harbarzel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took you out from a kur harbarzel, an iron furnace. A furnace which is there to refine and make and refine ore. In other words, there was a fire, but it's a furnace. It was a fire which was refining and building and making, creating Klal Yisrael. And basically what we're saying is that the Avada, the Shibud, and the Avdus in Mitzrayim was something which was for the benefit of the Klal Yisrael, although at the time it was something, it was terrible for them to suffer, to go through, but Avada, the Tachlis, the purpose of it was something for the good and the better, the good for Klal Yisrael, and as was represented to Moshe Rabbeinu in this snare, which is burning, but it was burning, but it wasn't being consumed. Let's have a look a little bit at the various things. What were the benefits, what were the positive sides to the Avdus in Mitzrayim? But to start off beforehand, I'd say a vort from the Rebbe Kloinus Kalman of Piasetzna. Rebbe Kloinus Kalman of Piasetzna, who was the Rebbe in the Warsaw Ghetto, and they later discovered various ksavim of his. One of them is called Esh Kodesh, which is the various droshes he gave from Shabbos to Shabbos in the Warsaw Ghetto. You can imagine what the atmosphere was there, and these were droshes. You feel when you read these droshes, you feel how he was giving kizut to the Yidden in the ghetto at the time. And on Parshas Vayikra, he says that we all know the Chadrashi, beginning of Parshas Vayikra, that for every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kodma Kriya, he called him first, and didn't just jump in and speak to him. It was a Lashon of Chiba, a Lashon of love. And he asks, this is not the first time in the Torah that it says expression of Vayikra. Why does Rashi point it out here? So he says, because the Parsha of Vayikra is the Parsha of Karbonus. And Karbonus represents sacrifice and Mesiris Nefesh and giving oneself up. He says that the Torah is telling you, even when it comes to Karbonus, even when it comes to sacrifice and difficulties, that's also born out of Chiba, out of the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Vayikra, that's a Losh of Chiba, Dafka Vayikra. The Haftarah which we lay in at the end of the last day of Pesach, we say the Pasuk, Oidcha Hashem ki onafto bi. Thank you Hashem ki onafto bi, that you are angry with me. Oidcha Hashem, we thank Hashem. The Gemara Nida brings a story of two people, who were two businessmen who were going on a journey, and they had to catch a ship to go overseas, and one of them, it says, when they tripped up, he got a thorn in his foot, and he wasn't able, and he missed the ship, and he was all upset and angry that he's missed this wonderful opportunity to go on his business trip. And then he heard later that the ship capsized and his friend died. So then he said, Oidcha Hashem ki onafto bi, I thank you Hashem now ki onafto bi, taka, for the suffering, for the pain, for this thorn in my foot. And Rabbi Yonah Sinaibish says, Oidcha Hashem ki onafto bi. Hashem is a Lashon Midas Arachanim, Oidcha Hashem Midas Arachanim, but it was born out of the Rachanim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The suffering comes out of the Chesed and the Rachanim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Beis HaLevi says that there's a pasuk in Tehillim, In the Perik Kuf Hei, it starts with Hoidu Lashem Kirushmoy, we're thanking Hashem, Hoidu Lashem Kirushmoy, Hodil Va'amim Ali Loisov. And then later the Pasuk is described the events of Mitzrayim, and it says, Hofach Libom Lisnoi Amoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned the hearts of the Mitzrayim, Lisnoi Amoy, to hate his people, to hate Klal Yisrael. And he asks, what's the starting of Hoidu Lashem, we thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for this we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned the hearts of Mitzrayim to hate Klal Yisrael. So he said, yes. He said, it's a chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the whole kiyum and the whole existence of Klal Yisrael is only if vo'avdil eschem min ha'amim, if they keep separate and don't assimilate amongst the goyim. When, as we see in Jewish history, when there are times where the barriers were not so defined and there was assimilation from Klal Yisrael amongst the goyim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give them a jolt. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give them a reminder to remind them that you're losing your existence, and that's when the oppression, the tzoros for the goyim come to keep the Eden, wholesome, keep the Eden onto their own. And that is that's the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Shulei Diskin says, it says in the Pasuk, in the beginning of Shemois, the Nei Yisrael, Poro Vayishritzu Vayirva Vayatzum Bibnoid Ma'oid Vati Mole Ha'oretz Oysom Vayokom Melech Chodosh U'Mitzroim. So he says, what's the connection? He says, as long as Klal Yisrael stayed to themselves in Goshen, then the Golos didn't start. It was only when Poro Vayishritzu, Vayirva Vayatzum Moimaj, then Vati Mole Ha'oretz Oysom, they spilled over into the whole land, amongst the Egyptians, amongst the Mitzrayim, then Vayokom Melech Chodosh U'Mitzroim. So number one, the purpose of Golos was the tachlis of Klal Yisrael, to give them the lessons of how one has to exist, how one must coexist amongst the goyim, but to keep to oneself, because if one tries to assimilate amongst the goyim, then one will lose one's identity, one will lose one's identity as Klal Yisrael. So that was one tachlis, one benefit of Klal Yisrael. As well, obviously, the tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to instill into Klal Yisrael the inyan of being avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that should be able to be mekabel the Torah and be avdei Hashem. When the Yidden accepted the Torah, it says, Anoichi Hashem, the first of the Aseret HaDibros, Anoichi Hashem Lekecha Asher Hoitzei Sichom Eretz Mitzrayim. When the Yidden got the Torah, that's when Hoitzei Sichom Eretz Mitzrayim, that's when it all came to its tachlis. The Chidah says that in fact, the 400 years that Klal Yisrael had to go through Mitzrayim were a preparation for the four Goliaths which Klal Yisrael had to go through at the later stage. The Golos, Bavel, Modai, Yavon, and Edom. And he says each century of the 400 years of Golos Mitzrayim corresponded to one of the Golosim. And therefore he says the Yidden were Mitzrayim for 210 years. So that means they fulfilled their full quota of the first two centuries. So therefore, Golos Bavel and Golos Modai were relatively short. Golos Yavon, which was the third one, so they only served 10 years out of the third century, so that was much longer. And Golos Edom, which was the fourth century, they didn't serve at all, that's why it's so long, because they didn't go through the process of Golos Mitzrayim to enable them to survive. They needed to go through that in order to prepare them for the future Golos. So that, again, that was a tachlis for Klal Yisrael, for their benefit, to be able to save them and spare them from Golos in the future. There's a beautiful Medrash Rabbah in Shir Hashim, which the Shem Yishmor explains, that says after Klal Yisrael came out the Mitzrayim and they went through the Kriyas Yamsuf, they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, let's go back to Mitzrayim. And the Shem Yishmor explains, what do they want to go back to Mitzrayim for? Because the Shem Yishmor said they understood that they had to going through Mitzrayim and serving in Mitzrayim was going to pave the way and make things easier in future Doros, for the future Golosim. But they had to go out, they came to a point they couldn't last a minute longer in Mitzrayim. But they thought, now we've come out, we've got our koichas back, we've been revitalized, rejuvenated, let's go back to Mitzrayim and be able to serve more time in Mitzrayim, to be able to spare the Eden further years in future. And there was a cheshbon why they couldn't do that. And the Shem Yishmor says, you see the unbelievable mysterious nefesh of the Ovis, that they were prepared to go back after coming out of Mitzrayim and suffering so much, they were prepared to go back into Mitzrayim in order to spare the future Doris. As an aside, we know that the Oisios Menatzpach, that's the final, at the end of letters, in the laws of Gematrius, it's brought down in many places, that they are carry on after Toph, in other words, end of Chof, is 500, and the Mem is 600, and the Nusera, etc. It's brought down Mashon, Machasam Sefer, many places brought down. Perhaps an explanation for this is as follows. In the Pirkei of Lezer, it says, that the Oisios Hakfulos, these double letters, are the Oisios HaGeula. These are the letters which are used for Geula, and it goes through the letters in various, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Yosef, where we find these letters, Mitzrayim, where we find these letters which were used in the Geula, and the Tzadi is the for the eventual Geula. And Rav David Luria brings over there a Pasuk, he brings from Rav Shimshon Astropoli, it says, Miknafa Oretz Zmiris Shomati Tzvi La Tzadik. Miknafa Oretz Zmiris, I've heard Zmiris Tzvi La Tzadik, give joy to the Tzadik or praise to the Tzadik. But he says, Miknafa Oretz, that's Mem Chof Nun Pei Shomati. I've already been through and experienced the Geulus of Mem Chof Nun Pei Atzvi. I'm waiting for La Tzadik to the Tzadik, which is the final Geulus, the Geulus Shleima. But that is, those are the letters. Now we said that the 400 years of Mitzrayim were to pave the way for the future Golus. So that means all Golus is really incorporated in Mitzrayim, which was for 400 years. In other words, the letter Tov represents Golus. And the final letters and the letters represent Geula. Therefore, these letters which come on after Golus, letters of Geula, then they carry on in number after Tov. Seeing as Tov is Golus, so Menatzbach, which are the letters of Geula, so then they carry on. Then it's after the Golus, it's 500, 600, 700. That could be a Hezbo net. So, coming back, first of all, to the Pasuk, the minion, the simon for the Pasuk. In Parashat Shemos is Vayikach. Yeah, so we find that the word Vayikach, or the root of Kicha, taking in connection to the Mitzrayim, which is in the Dalad Neshoyah Shul Geula. Vayitzeisi, Vayitzalti, Vayitzalti, Vayitzalti. And the Mepharshim explained that this Vayitzeisi, Vayitzalti, Vayitzalti, Vayitzalti wasn't some four expressions, it was four stages. Ultimately leading to the Lokachti Eskam Dila'om, that Klaisel should become an Amma, a nation, Amma Nivcha, they should get the Torah. So he went in that order. In the Pasuk, which I mentioned before, in Parshas Veschanon, it says, Ve'eschem Lokach Hashem, Vayotzi Eschem Mikur HaBalzim in Mitzrayim. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took you, Vayotzi Eschem Mikur HaBalzim, he took you out of the Kur HaBalzim in Mitzrayim. The order's the wrong way around. But it says he comes before the Lokachti, and here it says the other way around. The Teretz is because Avada, the Tachlis was there from the very start. Even being in Mitzrayim was there for the purpose of the Cheirus, for the Cheirus of Klal Yisrael, for the purpose, for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, they should receive the Torah and they should learn all the lessons of Golus. As they're going through it, there's a Seder Advarim, it goes through, Vayitzeisi, Vayitzalti, Vayitzalti, Lokachti. But in retrospect, in hindsight, once we come out of Mitzrayim, then we understand Ve'eschem Lokach Hashem Vayotzi Eschem Mikur HaBalzim. The Lokach Hashem came first. Because really, in the context of, the Pasuk says Vayotzi Eschem Mikur HaBalzim, in the context of understanding that Mitzrayim was a Kur HaBalzim, it was there for the benefit, for purifying and refining Klal Yisrael, then you can understand that right at the very start, Ve'eschem Lokach Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was carrying out the Geula, now in Mitzrayim, was all part of the Geula. It wasn't just two things. There was a bad thing called the Abdus, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu came along and saved us the Cheirus. This all came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was all for the Cheirus, it was all for the purpose and the benefit of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Sefer Sedra Shemois, which is a Sedra which is the beginning of the Golus of Mitzrayim, the simon there, you should understand what's hidden in the Sedra is, you should realize, is Vayikach. The Loshon of Kicha Vayikach in the past. That means it's already there, it's already taking place, not in the future, I will, but Vayikach, it was already taking effect now, when the Golus started. The Gemara says in Psachim, that Zemachloikas, whether one can eat matzah made out of matzah. Use matzah sheni for matzah. Yeah, matzah sheni is a produce which Yisrael has to take up to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. Yeah, b'kedusha. And the Gemara discusses machlokes with Rabbi Abdin and Rabbi Akiva whether a Yisrael can take his matzah sheni in Yerushalayim and eat his matzah sheni there and make it and use it for matzah. Various Gemaras, but the Gemara says over there, Rabbi Sadni says you can't. Because he says, the Pasuk says, Lechem Oini. Yeah, so Lechem Oini, various interpretations of the Gemara, but he says Lechem Oini means Lechem Shenecho Ba'aninus. He says Oini, the Ayin and the Aleph are Oisius HaMischalfis, they're interchangeable letters, and he darshens Oini with the Lashon of Aleph, which is Aninus, Oinon, which is Avelus. And he says, the Gemara says that a mas an oinon, as a pasuk said, lo echalti v'oinim imenu, an oinon is not allowed to eat masa sheni. And if the Torah says a matzah is called lechem oini, and we can read it with an aleph, it means it's such a type of matzah which is able to be eaten when one is an oinon. So therefore, you can't use masa sheni for matzah because masa sheni can't eat when you're an oinon. It's interesting that. Okay, it could be the Gemara's learning that you have to be able to eat matzah when you're an oinon. You mustn't be restricted. But that is the title of matzah. Matzah's lechem oini. That we're describing matzah is something which can be eaten by aninus. And the Torah says, yeah, as we're saying. Because one has to understand that aninus is a steer to matzah. Because an oinon means as someone who's suffering, who's going through pain, he can't be besimcha. So therefore, that is a contradiction to what we're meant to be doing with matzah. Because in matzah, we have to understand that even though there's pain, and even though there's suffering, but it's not that's a reason to really rejoice and appreciate this is all born out Hashem Kiran after me. This is born out of a chesed and a love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, matzah has to be something lechem oini, which you can appreciate even through aninus. And therefore, and that's the title of matzah, and you can't eat matzah made out of matzah sheni. So, coming back to the matzah itself, I mean, we asked, is matzah lechem oini? Is matzah cheirus? Yeah. So Terah says, avada, matzah itself, by definition, is lechem oini. That's what it was. It was poor man's bread, it was bread of affliction. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu specially made that the way the Yidden should go out Mitzrayim was with their matzah. That means take the symbol of Avdus out with you from Mitzrayim when you're going out, and that should turn into your symbol of Cheirus. The symbol of Cheirus, which is the matzah, is that should be actually the Lechem Oini, to appreciate when you come out Mitzrayim, remember not just you suffered, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu took you out. But the suffering was also part of the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The suffering was also part of the fulfillment of the plan, the master plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to free us and make us Avdei Hashem. And that's why the Lechem Oini, Itaka is Lechem Oini by definition, but it's a symbol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it as a symbol of Cheres. Just to finish off, I saw a story brought down by one of the new Agodas from Chaim Brim, who says during the Six-Day War, there were some soldiers in a tank, and their tank got hit by a missile or an anti-tank rocket, and it hit a direct hit on the door or the hatch of the tank. And there was no other exit, so their hatch was on fire, and they couldn't get out. And the tank comprised of one soldier who was a Frum soldier, and the others were Chilonim. So the soldier turned around to them and says, look, we've got nothing else to do, we can't lose. Let's prepare ourselves and say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. And they said with utmost devotion, like all of them, said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And just as they finished that, another rocket came and hit the door again, the hatch, but this time it blew open the door and they were able to get out. And I saw a story, I was thinking like this, that first of all, in this story you see that, first of all, what was the thing which was there to save them? It was also the rocket, the tool of destruction. It was the rocket, but it was more than that. In other words, it was to demonstrate that the original rocket was also there for the Tachlis. What did this rocket do? This brought three Yidden, three Chiloni soldiers to come to Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So Bedafka, the same rocket, comes to bring the Yeshua, to show you the original rocket was also carrying out a Yeshua and a Tov and Hatzlacha. We should be Zoicha to see the Hatzchesed and the Rachman of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not through suffering, but only through the Emeser, Geula, Shleimah, B'mehir, Yameinu.
Amen.